Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. What a joy and a privilege it is to come your way again by way of radio. I do thank you for listening this morning. And trust that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. Here we are, last day of 2024. We made another year. We got behind us. And looking forward to the one upcoming. Trusting the Lord each day, for each day. And for the provisions that are needed along the way. Oh my, we thought last year we were close to the Lord coming back. And now here we are a year closer. Doesn't mean he's not coming. Doesn't mean I'm not still expecting him. Just tells me it's closer now than it was this time last year. And as we end another year, I do want to thank the ones who have faithfully listened and have been here each week as we brought these messages and shared this time of fellowship around the Word of God. We do thank you for your attention and for being here with us. And we do trust that the broadcast is a blessing to you. Trust that everyone had a great holiday this past week, that you got through Christmas with lots of thoughts of why we have the season. Of course, that being the birth of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, yonder in Bethlehem, born and laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. His mother was the Virgin Mary, and his father was none other than God Almighty, and then his foster dad was Joseph. So, we've come through that season again, and we just want to renew him and let him be born anew in our heart every year, that from year to year we don't forget or become callous to his memory and to the story of his birth. So now let's have a song, and then I'll be back today. We'll be beginning again in the book of Joshua, where they had been defeated at Ai. We'll be looking at some more aspects of that.
I can tell you I'm nothing, and I would be telling the truth. I can say I am worthless, a hopeless sinner, that's true. But that's just part of the story. I haven't told everyone. of a king from Jerusalem. I'm a part of the bloodline of David. That's who I am. I am, and I claim kindred to Isaac, to Jacob, and Abraham. I'm a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem. Oh, how in this world can I stand and say such a thing? To say I am royal and claim that my father's a king, I'd have to take you to an where it happened many years ago. There I met this king, and I was washed in his blood, and that's all I know. Now I am a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem. I'm a part of the bloodline of David. That's who I am. I am, and I claim kindred to Isaac, to Jacob, and Abraham. I'm a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem.
Trust the song was a blessing to you. That was Merlin Williamson and the Harmony Trio and a royal descendant. And certainly that is a high and lofty idea, one unworthy of this worthless sinner. And yet because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because I've been washed in that blood, I have become a descendant of a king, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do feel humbled by even thinking about that, because I do not deserve anything other than hell. And thank God, because of Calvary, today I am a child of the King. Nothing I've ever done, but all because of His amazing, marvelous grace. Now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You for the opportunity to be back again. We thank You that we've been able to stay on this radio another year. You've given us days of life. You've given us the means to keep this broadcast going. You've given us the messages. We thank You, Lord, for every blessing that's been ours throughout this year. As we close this year out, Lord, we just pray that next year we'll be able to do more for You, lift You higher, give You more glory, give You more honor, give You more praise, and lift You higher than we ever have before. Father, I pray today for each one that's listening today that You'll meet the needs of those lives, those that need financial help, those that need physical health. I pray, Lord, that You'll help them, give them grace and give them blessings of peace and joy and comfort. Lord, most of all, If there's one that needs to be saved, listening to the sound of my voice, I pray that today be the day you'll speak to that heart, bring them to a place of repentance and of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And all that you do, we will thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the conquest of Ai and what happened when Israel went up against the little tiny city of Ai when they had just conquered the mighty city of Jericho. And they had gone up against Ai and had been defeated. In fact, they lost the lives of 36 men. And Joshua was confused. He doesn't understand why. And he's down on his face. And God told him, said, get up. Get up off your face. Israel has sinned. And so then set in motion the thing that finally led to the identification of one of the men that was in the battle. His name was Achan. And when they cast their lots and they went through all the tribes, and God pointed out the tribe, and then God from that tribe pointed out the family, and then from the family God had pointed out Achan as the guilty party. So if you're looking in chapter 7 of Joshua, you'll find that when they had identified that, Joshua, in starting in verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. You see, Achan's sin caught up with him. And the Bible says that our sin will be sure to find us out. And Achan has just found out that that is true, even before it was ever written that I'm aware of. He found out that his sin found him out. And for some reason, friend, the world continues to believe that they can sin and not be found out. But you can rest assured that somewhere along the way, the guilty party will be revealed. And God has a way of bringing about circumstances that will reveal and will uncover the sin and the wrongdoing of those who commit those things. And so now he's been brought before Joshua, and Joshua has told him to make a confession. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, for thus and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And so we find that after he confessed, they did go to his tent, and they found it to be so as he had said. Now, last week we had started looking at the deception involved in Achan's sin. And we said that most of this deception was around Achan, but some more of it lay with the congregation. But first of all, we said that there was the deception of the love of luxury. In chapter 27, verse 21, Achan said, I saw among the goods a goodly Babylonian garment. And so what he saw was he saw there a beautiful uniform or a suit of clothes of a Babylonish beginning. Now, first of all, can I say that Babylon is a picture of the world and false religion that exists in the world. It all started back in Babylon with Nimrod, who was the first one that decided to find him a way to heaven, except through the blood. He wanted to build a tower right up into heaven. And He said, let us make a name for ourselves, and we'll find our own way to heaven. We'll build this great tower, and we'll go into heaven. But God stopped that by confounding their language, and they had to desert that, and it was never finished. But friend, people have been trying to finish that tower ever since it was started there in Babylon by thinking of different ways that they believe they can get to heaven outside of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and His finished work there at Calvary. And so he saw that Babylonish garment on as worldly and as idolatrous as it was. He desired it. He wanted it. And so he took it. I like to say today that when you go out in public anymore, especially in the summertime, you can see folks that are clothed in Babylonish garments. Or sometimes it's the lack of being clothed, which is a Babylonish custom. And so, can I say that there was the deception of the love of luxury? He wanted some nice clothes. He wanted some beautiful things to wear. And he wanted to be look like that he was rich and was faring very well. But then, second of all, not only the love of luxury, but there was the love of lucre. The Bible says that the root of all evil is money. And the New Testament calls it filthy lucre. And so, if we look in verse number 21, we find that he saw 200 shekels of silver, and a shekel is a weight. You see, no coins were struck in that day. The first coins that we know of that were ever struck didn't come about until the 6th century A.D. by the Greeks. So one shekel is a half of an ounce, and it amounts to 2 to 3 days' wages. So if you think about it, if one half of an ounce is 2 to 3 days' wages, and he had 200 shekels, then he had, think about it. For every ounce, he had, say, 2 days' wages, and he had 200 of those. And so that means that for every ounce he had 4 days, he had many, many years of salary there in that 200 shekels of silver. Today, as of July the 8th, 2024, that would have amounted to $31.23 an ounce. And so 200 shekels would have been a little over $6,000. A lot of money in his day. Then 50 shekels of gold, the same equation, 25 ounces. July the 8th was $2,375 an ounce. And so that would have been another $60,000. And so we're looking at around $65,000 or a little less. And so in his day, that would have been probably a lifetime of funds, enough he could have retired if he had been so inclined to do so. Don't think that it was exactly in those days like it is now, but he would have been set for life with those things that he took, and no doubt he was what was in his mind that if I take this, then I'm set for life. I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to worry about anything else. And so it didn't matter with him that God had said, don't do that. It didn't matter with him that God said that that's mine and you are not to touch it. I did the work at Jericho, and therefore all of the spoil is mine. He ignored what God had said and went ahead with his own desires because he got the dollar signs in front of his eyes, and he went ahead and did that he knew was wrong, and now he is about to pay the cost. Now, friend, I want to tell you that in the world that you and I live in today, some people are willing to do anything because of that dollar sign. I recently was the victim of my information being hacked. As a result, I had an attempt on me to run a scam on me, and I almost fell for it until it come right down to the time that they told me I had to give up some money to get some money back, and that's when the red flags began to fly. But let me tell you, friend, if those people keep going, and they keep scamming people, and they taking money illegally, taking money by deceptive means, one day they too will have to stand before a judge, and they'll have to confess that they have done that, and because of the got blinded by the money that they could make, my friend, by doing this and taking it from hardworking innocent people, one day they too will have to answer to God. They'll have to pay for that just like these men do. And not only that, you don't have to be a scammer to take advantage of people and to let the money take the place of fairness and of truth and of what's right. And dear friend, when money gets in the way of right, people will pay for it one day in one manner or the other. And so Achan has fallen prey not only to the deception of the love of luxury, but also to the luxury of lucre. And then there was another group that were deceived by this whole thing too. And that was the love of leisure. If you back up in chapter 7, to verse number 3, there is a very interesting note that said there, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor therewith, but for they are but few. So here was the greatest army in the world in that day, the army of God, that is out there in the land that God has promised them, and they are conquering enemies one after the other. And now here, the spies said, no, don't make everybody go labor. Don't make everybody have to exert effort. Just send a few out there, and we can take it. And let the rest of the people rest. Don't let them have to go out there and labor in this. But can I tell you that in this battle, it probably would have been fine if they had done it that way. There was no problem with that, other than the fact that they were unaware that God's glory had departed from them, and God's presence was not going to be with them, and He was not going to help them, and therefore it was not going to be the same as it was at Jericho. But yet they failed to see that. What they saw was, here's a chance that some of us don't have to get out there and do that. And so the love of leisure. I'm afraid that the love of leisure has sidetracked and derailed many a Christian's testimony and their work for the Lord. They have fallen short of God's expectation, and they have given down, given up, backed away, and now God's service and God's worship is lacking because someone has loved pleasure and leisure more so than they love doing the will of God. You see, Israel was a mighty army marching on to victory and taking the country and conquering the country that God had promised them. And friend, God, the Lord Jesus Christ left a commission. When He left this world, He said for us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and to get the gospel into the hands and into the ears and into the hearts of as many people as we can. And yet so many people here in the United States, the most blessed country in the world, can't seem to get up out of the bed and get to church on Sunday morning. They can't get back on Sunday night. Some of them can't get back Wednesday night. And my friend, the love of leisure has deceived many folks today in the same way that it did these folks. And they eventually came to realize they were in a bad situation. Can I remind you today, if you're a child of God, the love of leisure can destroy your testimony. It can destroy your reward, because the Bible plainly teaches in the New Testament that all of us who are saved are going to stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ, and there we will have to give an account for our stewardship of what we have done with our salvation experience after we were saved. And I'm the first to tell you that there are times that it'd be so much easier just to find some excuse to stay in the bed or to just stay at home and get away from these things. But that's a trick of the devil, just like this was. It was a deception. It lulled the people into false security. They thought everything was fine. They did not realize that the glory of God had departed. I'm afraid, my friend, today that there's a lot of people that thought that they were just doing the thing that they were wanted to do by staying home, staying away from church, staying away from the work of God, and they have not realized yet that the glory of God has departed from them, and they will fall before the enemy sooner or later. Not only that, but on that day of the judgment seat of Christ, they will stand ashamed and will not receive the compliment from the Lord Jesus Christ that all of us so desire to have as we walk this Christian way. You see, maybe in this battle it didn't make any difference, but there were some times that it would have. And I tell you that it was the love of leisure that got David into the great trouble he had with Bathsheba. You see, the Bible said that it was the time when kings went to war, and David had an army out on the battlefield, and he was back at home in the castle. He was not out there on the battlefield where he was supposed to be. As a result, you've probably read the story. He couldn't sleep. He was on the rooftop, no doubt trying to find a place that was a little cooler than inside. Off that rooftop, he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. Saw that she was very beautiful. Sent for her. He was the king. Nobody could deny his request. Sent for her. And you know the story, how that she became pregnant. In an effort to cover that up, David had her husband killed. One sin led to another, as it always does. And then, in the final downfall, David suffered so many things. The Bible said that the sword never departed from his house after that. His children all had all kinds of problems. One half-brother raped his half-sister there in the family. And then another brother killed that brother. And then another son of David's tried to take his throne. He paid for that sin for the rest of his life, and it started out because he was deceived by the love of leisure. He did not want to go to war with his army. Friend, this has been a little different this morning. I'm usually making an appeal to the lost about this time because my time's running out. But today I believe the Lord would have me to make a different appeal. Friend, if you're a child of God and you've been slacking down and you've been letting down and you've not been going to the house of God, if you've not been supporting your pastor and your church, and you're not supporting the mission work, you're not supporting the things that you know God has laid on your heart to do, I want to adjure you today, friend. I want to ask you, I want to beg you, get back in the harness. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't go home and stay there. This thing called the love of leisure is deceptive, and eventually it will catch up with you, and you will have to answer to God for that. And then, as I do finish up this last minute, let me say this, friend. I know this message has been mainly centered around what God's people could do, but I do want to tell you that God loves you. God sent His Son to die for you. That's what this whole season we just went through is all about, was Him sending His Son for one reason and one reason only, to live a perfect life, born of a virgin. He died yonder on the cross to pay your sin debt and my sin debt. They buried Him, and on the third day He rose again. And because He was able to conquer death, hell, and the grave, today He offers salvation to you and to all who will turn to Him. All you have to do is just come to Him, ask Him to forgive you, and on the authority of God's Word, if you do that, I promise you, He will save you. Now may God bless you until we tune in together again.